Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us once again with this beautiful day known as Yawmul Jumu'ah. There's a famous kitab in the field of and the sciences of hadith which is known as Muqaddimah ibn Salah. In this hadith, he mentions a very overarching principle which is known as Qa'idat Kulliyah. He says that majority of the ahadith, where the actions are less and the rewards are major, where the actions are less and the reward are amazing, those ahadith normally fall under the category of da'if. But there is one single hadith in the books of ahadith, known as the fada'il and the virtue of Yawmul Jumu'ah. It's the only hadith where the action is very less and the reward is tremendous. The riwayat is from Aws ibn Aws al-Thaqafi radiallahu anhu. He narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ghassala wa ghtasala, wa bakkara wa btakara, wa masha wa lam yarkab, wa dana min al-imami wa lam yalgha, kana lahu bi kulli khutwatin ajru sanatin, ajru siyamiha wa qiyamiha." Rawahu Tirmidhi fi sunanihi. Aws ibn Aws al-Thaqafi radiallahu anhu mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person, on Friday, he takes a thorough bath. He walks and he comes early to the masjid. He sits closer to the minbar, listens to the talk attentively, doesn't fidget around and play around. The reward of this person is that he gets the thawab of fasting 1 year and standing in front of Allah the whole night for 1 year. This is the only hadith which is mentioned in the book of a hadith. Secondly, my respected brothers and elders, they say that every academic class, every family, every household, every community, they are always dropouts. But if you have to very thoroughly recite and read the history of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they were such an amazing galaxy of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Hassan Basri rahimahullah says, "Wallahi laqad laqitu sab'ina badriyan aktharu libasihim as-suf." That I take an oath in the name of Allah, I met 70 Badri Sahaba. It's mentioned in Sharia Aqaid al-Nasafi, which is taught in our Darul Ulooms in the 5th year, that the ranks of the Sahaba is as follows. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, which are known as the Khulafa'ur Rashideen. There comes the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba, where the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tidings of Jannah in one sitting. After the Ashara Mubashara are the Ashabul Badr, the 313 companions who took part in the Battle of Badr. After the Ashabul Badr or the Badriyin are those Sahaba who took part in the 3rd year of Hijri known as the Battle of Uhud, where the 70 Sahaba were martyred and shaheed, where the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the famous incident which is mentioned in the books of Fadail. After the Ashab-e-Uhud, then comes those people who took part in Sulh Hudaybiyah. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allah. Laqad sadaqa Allahu rasulahu ar-ru'ya bilhaq. Latadkhulunna al-masjid al-haram insha'Allah aminina muhalliqina ru'usakum wa muqassirina la takhafun. The famous incident in the 6th year of Hijri, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown this dream and he thought that he took the whole group of Sahaba and they offset towards Makkah Mukarramah to take the sacred pilgrim and make tawaf, and they were stopped and prevented to enter into Mecca, and there were 10 sharait and conditions put forward from the Meccans. Those Sahaba who took part in this battle, they fall under the people of Sulh Hudaybiyah. After Sulh Hudaybiyah are those people who accepted Islam before Fathu Makkah. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran in the 27th juz, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة. These Sahaba who accepted Islam before Fath Makkah, the victory of Makkatul Mukarramah, their status and daraja and their value is above everyone. And after that, وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. You are Sahabi, you had the privilege of being in the companionship of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala has granted you the certificate of radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Coming back to the incident and the story of Hassan Basri rahimullah, he mentions that وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ لَقِيتُ سَبَعِينَ بَدْرِيًا. I was so fortunate that I met 70 Sahabi. Not any ordinary Sahabi, I met 70 Badri Sahabi. Aktharu libasihim as-suf. The famous word we hear, Sufi, Sufi. Where does the root word of Sufi come from? Suf means cotton. These Sahaba, majority of them, the clothing were made from normal cotton. لَوْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُمْ لَقُلْتُمْ مَجَانِينَ. If you had to see the galaxy of Sahaba, you would say, Wallahi, these people are insane and crazy in the love of Allah. That's why Hassan Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, once congregating and speaking in Yawmul Jum'ah, he told the people, Antum aktharu salatan, wa aktharu siyaman, wa aktharu ijtihadan min ashabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walakin kanu khayran minkum. That all tabi'un, do not feel bad, is a reality. You people exaggerate more than the Sahaba in your ibadat. You perform more salah, extra nawafil salah. You perform extra fasting. You give more charity than the Sahaba. You perform more umrah and hajj. Walakin kanu khayran minkum. However, let me tell you, Sahaba were then too better than you. One person stands up and says, Lima ya Aba Abdurrahman? The incident is mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba written by Mawlana Yusuf Sab. So one person stands up and says, Oh Abdullah ibn Masud, what makes you say that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were better than us if we're exaggerating ourselves in the ibarat? He said, لِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا أَزْهَدَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَرْغَبَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Put it in a nutshell, let me tell you who Sahaba were. It's like you giving everything for the world. What's left over, you give it for Allah and His Rasul. Sahaba gave everything for Allah and His Rasul. What was left, they gave it for this dunya. That's it. Hassan Basri said, I met 70 Sahaba. أَكْثَرُ لِبَاسِهِمْ الصُّوفِ. لَوْ رَأَيْتُمُهُمْ لَقُلْتُمْ مَجَانِينَ. If you had to see the galaxy of Sahaba, you would say these people are insane and crazy. وَلَوْ رَأَوْ خِيَارَكُمْ. If Sahaba had to see the most noblest amongst you, لَقَالُوا مَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. These people got no akhlaq and high morals in their lives. وَلَوْ رَأَوْ شِرَارَكُمْ لَقَالُوا لَا يُؤْمِنُ هَؤُلَاءِ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. If Sahaba had to see the sinners amongst ourselves at that time and age, they would say, Wallahi, these are not even Muslims. My most honorable Ustaz, Mawlana Sulman Mullah, says, leave alone physically demonstrating the lifestyle of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The mere thought and imagination to implement the lifestyle of Sahaba, it's impossible. So someone mentions the Sahaba did so and so, we still think back and try to digest that did this even happen in the annals of Islamic history. My respected brothers and elders, there was a hadith I recited in front of you. There are two ni'mats. Majority of the people, we take it for granted. We are very relaxed. We take it like it's something, we trivialize it, as they say. As-sihatu wal-faragh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this Muslim nation with a lot of bounties, this Muslim ummah, a lot of ni'mah. Although we see the apparent world where Muslims are going and all the terms and the turmoils in the world, where Muslims are up and down. You see, Muslims are being oppressed different parts of the world. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." Do not worry. This is a prison for the believers. This is a paradise and garden and jannah for the disbelievers. However, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas." There are two ni'mah. There are two bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Majority of the people, we trivialize it. We take it for granted. We do not pay heed and we do not maximize from those bounties. As-sihatu, good health, wal-faraag, and free time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'minu al-qawiyu khayrun min al-mu'min al-da'if. A strong believer is better than a weak believer. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the state of this hadith. This is a sentence of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The commentators of the hadith came thereafter and they started debating and discussing. What does this hadith mean? Does it mean that a person have to be spiritually strong to be better than the other Muslim? Majority of them have written no. It means Allah has given us this physical health. We need to utilize this. We need to make the best of this in servicing and making the khidmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. If we have to read the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, revelation used to take place. Unzil al-kitab, nuzil al-kitab. It used to be tadrijan, 23 years of time. Some verses in Makkah Mukarramah, some verses in Medina Munawwara. Gradually the verses used to come. But in the 9th sipara, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. That Sahaba were not those people, I got a bad habit, I got an evil habit. I heard the Imam Sahib saying something. I read the verse myself of the Quran. I read the translation. I heard maybe some sheikh speaking on one of the audio clips. It's not like, okay, I will think, I will introspect, I'll see how I can schedule my life with my evil habits or bad habits. No. Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to drink wine, whatever you want to call it. They had 500 different types of wine, which I mentioned in Fiqhul Lugha of Imam Tha'alibi rahimahullah. They had so many different names just of wine. They used to take pride in how they used to drink. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. The famous incident of Ali radiallahu anhu, when they were all invited by Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu just before Maghrib Salah, and they had a bit of wine. Maghrib Salah, Ali radiallahu anhu stands, he says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ أَعْبُدُ مَا. Normally the verses is لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. I do not worship what you worship. Ali radiallahu anhu drank and he said, أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. I worship what you worship. Allah Ta'ala revealed the verses, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. When you are intoxicated, do not even think of reading salah. Why? Because that's why the fuqaha have mentioned, when a person is making dua, when he's supplicating to Allah, when he's communicating to Allah, make sure that you're full-hearted speaking to Allah. You're devoted to your dua. You're not being forced by anyone. Say like, Allahumma Rabbi Allah, give it to me. And somebody like, Ya Allah, destroy him. You might say something and Allah accept it and you might destroy yourself. We have to be very sensitive of every sentence and claim we make. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were not that group of people. When the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, they said, we'll think about it, we'll introspect, we'll see how we can, where we can schedule. The verses were revealed, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Gambling, drinking, all pork and all these sort of things are haram. It's evil, it's dirty, it's najis. Stay away from them, abstain from them. Sahaba were not that, those kind of people. I have a final glass in front of me. I have a final gulp in front of me. The wine is in my mouth. No. There were Sahaba radiallahu anhu who already drank the wine. They went out and they vomited the whole thing. Why? They never even wanted to take a burp of something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram. The month of Ramadan is coming and going. The ayam of hajj on our doorsteps. Someone is 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old. The object and the maqsid of every ibadah is totally... it's totally not there. Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has written a very famous book which is read and understood by one and all, known as إِحْيَاءُ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ. Famous book. In that he mentions the hikmah and the wisdoms of different ibadat. The mere object and maqsid of fasting is to gain that Allah consciousness, to gain taqwa. So if a person is saying, MashaAllah, I'm fasting for the last 20 years, fasting for the last 30 years, we are not here to fulfill a ritual which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to. We are not a machine. Allah has given, Dard-e-dil ke waaste paida kiya insano ko, warna ibadat ke liye kaafi the, karo bhiye. It's mentioned in the riwayat of Sahih Muslim, that there is not a space of four fingers in the heavens, but someone, one angel of Allah is prostrating, someone is in ruku', someone is standing, yusabbihunahu wa yahmadunahu, someone is praising Allah, someone is making takbir. Allah Ta'ala is independent of our praises. What is the definition and explanation of Allahu Samad? Normally we translate it in English as, Allah is totally independent. In Urdu we translate it as, Allah be niyaz hai. But Arabic is a language which cannot be translated, but understand it in its context. Allah uses the word samad. Samad does not only mean He's independent. Samad means la yahtaju ila shay wa yahtaju ilayhi kullu shay. Allah does not need anyone. Every single thing is in need of Allah. My respected brothers and elders, we are day in, day out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with amazing abilities and amazing bounties. The hadith I recited is, maximize what we have. They say in Arabic, النِّعْمَةُ إِذَا فُقِدَتْ عُرِفَتْ. In Farsi they say, قَدْرِ نِعْمَةْ بَعْدِ زَوَال. When a person has a bounty, we do not realize we got legs, we got feet, we got eyes, we got mouth and tongue, everything to talk. Unfortunately, Allah na kare, Allah forbid, someone meets up in an accident. What happened? I saw him in the morning, he was jogging with me. No, he's in the hospital. No, I saw him yesterday, we had a cup of coffee and a cup of tea together. He's lying in the hospital. Allah has given the bounty. The greatest ni'mah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given is the ni'mah of iman. It's easy to say, I am born as a Muslim. It's difficult to say, I die as a Muslim. Our ustaz used to always say, sometimes gaining something, it's easier. Maintaining is much more difficult. To get married is very easy. نَكَحْتُهَا وَقَبِلْتُهَا وَتَزَوَّجْتُهَا. It's not a minute or 2 minutes thing. But to maintain that marital life, that's a challenge. That's why our ustaz always used to say, when someone used to get married, he used to come and used to hug him. He used to tell him, good luck. Everyone looked at him and said, we all saying congratulations, you coming and saying good luck. I told the man, good luck. 40 years down, if I see him with the same couple, I come and hug him, I say congratulations, mission accomplished. So Allah Ta'ala has given us so many bounties and ni'mah. If we have to read how the pious predecessors maximized from their time. A famous incident mentioned by Ibn Asakir rahimahullah in his famous book, Tariq al-Dimashq, in 60 volumes, it depends on the volume and the print. Ibn Asakir rahimahullah mentions the incident of this great legendary scholar, how our pious maximized from the time, the ni'mah of time which Allah has given to them, how they utilized it in the khidmat and service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Abu Zur'a al-Razi rahimahullah, very famous hadith scholar, hundreds and thousands, people used to come into droves, numbers, multitudes in his gathering to listen to his talks. He was a master in the field of hadith. 60, 70, 80 years, the penguins of death has gripped him. He's in his final moments. All his students are surrounded and gathered. Now there's a famous hadith in Sahih Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first volume is reported to have said, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ أَيْعِنْدَ قُرْبِ مَوْتِكُمْ. That when you see a person is in his final moments, you see the penguins of death are apparent on him, make talqeen of La ilaha illallah. The fuqaha mention, do not force him to read La ilaha illallah. Do not say, Ya akhi, iqra' La ilaha illallah. Ya akhi, hallil. Ya akhi, kabbir. Ya akhi, sabbih. You do not tell a person that recite. Because at that time, if he denies, he leaves this world without Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. You are going to be judged by your final actions. So this is a great legendary scholar. The students are totally surrounded him and circled him. Now they are thinking that the hadith is in front of us, where the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have to make talqeen. But at the same time, we do not have the audacity or the power or the courage to tell our ustaz to recite the kalima. He is the one who taught us so many hadith. We are his students. We learned and educated ourselves in his gathering. But again, it's the command of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they mutually consulted amongst themselves. The colleagues sat together and they said, I got an idea. One of them said, he said, you know what? There's a famous hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. That person that his final words before he departs from this world is La ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says he'll enter into Jannah. How about we sitting in front of ustaz and reading the chain and the sanad of this hadith? Hopefully ustaz remembers or ustaz understands our indications and he starts reciting the kalima. But again, they're like, okay, who got the guts to move forward? So I'm not going to do. No, you go, I'm not going to do. So there were two students who came forward. One was Imam Abu Hatim al-Razi. The other one was Muhammad ibn Salim. So they both went forward and the ustaz is sitting there. He's looking towards the roof. And he's totally aware, he's conscious, but everyone is totally circled. So the first student goes forward, his name is Muhammad ibn Muslim. He says, حَدَّثَنَا الضَّحَالِكُ بْنُ مِخْلَدْ عَنْ عَبْدِ الْحَمِيدِ ابْنِ جَعْفَرْ عَنْ صَالِحٍ ثُمَّ تَلَجْلَجَ مِنْ صُعُوبَةِ الْمَوْقِفِ وَهَيْبَتِهِ عَلَىٰ أُسْتَاذِهِ وَحُزْنٍ مِّنْهُمْ. He goes forward and he starts saying that, I have heard this hadith from Dhahalik ibn Mikhlad. He narrates this hadith from Abdul Hamid ibn Ja'far. He narrates this hadith from Salih. He says the word Salih and his gaze falls on his ustaz. Automatically the ra'ab of the ustaz, the fear of the ustaz, that respect overcomes and takes him over. ثُمَّ تَلَجْلَجَ. He's totally shivering and stopped and he cannot even say a single word. So his colleague says that what happened to him? Now he's totally shivering. That how can I say something in front of my ustaz? So the other student, Abu Hatim Razi, goes for, he's like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. حَدَّثَنَا بُنْدَار. قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو عَاصِمْ عَنْ عَبْدِ الْحَمِيدِ ابْنِ جَعْفَر. عَنْ صَالِحٍ ثُمَّ تَلَجْلَجَ كَأَخِيهِ وَسَكَتَ. He starts like, yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I have narrated this hadith. I heard it from my ustaz Bundar. He heard this hadith from his ustaz, namely Abdul Hamid ibn Ja'far. He heard this hadith from his ustaz Abu Asim. He heard this hadith from his ustaz Salih. And as soon as he sees his ustaz, he's totally shut and he's totally quiet. Now the ustaz, it's pin drop silence. The ustaz says, أَجْلِسُونِي. Make me sit up straight. Now everyone's like, hey, what you guys done? You made a mistake. أَجْلِسُونِي. Make me sit properly. So they hold him and they put him forward. And then he says, حَدَّثَنَا بُنْدَار. Let me tell you who narrated this hadith to me. Bundar narrates this hadith to me. قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو عَاصِمْ. He says, Abu Asim narrates this hadith to me. عَنْ عَبْدِ الْحَمِيدِ ابْنِ جَعْفَر. He, Abu Asim, narrates this hadith from Abdul Hamid ibn Ja'far. عَنْ صَالِحِ ابْنِ أَبِي غَرِيبٍ. He narrates this hadith from Salih ibn Abi Gharib. عَنْ كَثِيرِ ابْنِ أَبِي مُرَّةَ الْحَضْرَمِ. He narrates this hadith from كثير ابن مُرَّةَ الْحَضْرَمِ. And he narrates from عَنِ الصَّحَابِيِّ الْجَلِيلِ مُعَاذ ibn Jabal. He narrates this hadith from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, the great legendary scholar. And he narrates from the Prophet ﷺ. Look at him. He's sitting, he's mentioning it, the whole sanad, the chain of the hadith. And he says, he narrates from the Master ﷺ, مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ that person whose final words are La ilaha illallah فخرجت روحه مع هواء حرف الهاء. He says the word La ilaha illallah. When he stops at the ha of Allah, his soul comes out and he passes away on the spot. The students look at each other and they say, Insha'Allah, دخل الجنة. We are going to full complete the hadith that is definitely going to enter into Jannah. Respected brothers, they say, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَمُوتُونَ كَمَا تَنَامُونَ وَتُبْعَثُونَ كَمَا تَسْتَيْقِذُونَ وَتُحَاسَبُونَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ أَبَدًا أَوْ لَنَارٌ أَبَدًا. We die as we sleep. We wake up and we will be resurrected as we wake up in the morning. Then forever it's going to be Jannah or it's going to be Jahannam. They say we need to inspire, to aspire before we expire. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make aman whatever has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.